So the first reading this morning is from Ezekiel, chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. Please listen to the word of God. He said to me, "O mortal, stand up on your feet, and I will speak with you." And when he spoke to me, a spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said to me, "Mortal, I am sending you to the people of Israel, to a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are impudent and stubborn. I'm sending you to them, and you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God,' whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house. They shall know that there has been a prophet among them." And the gospel reading this morning is from Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all of this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joses and Judas and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So welcome to Sunday, the 4th of July, a day we celebrate, a day we celebrate independence and freedom. I find it a tough Sunday to preach. So many people in this country are not free. And as a follower of Jesus, what am I to do with that? I think Jesus will want me to focus my discipleship on those who are not free, but how? From today's scriptures, I think Jesus would want me to be guided by those on the margins and the prophets. In the Mark passage, I want to go back to last week's reading because it has some bearing on the lesson today. If you remember, it was a story of Jairus' daughter, which was interrupted by the story of the unclean woman. First, the structure of the Mark passage. In the academy, it is called intercalated. It is a story within a story. It is not the usual telling of Jesus' story, and I thought it was the only time in Mark, but there is at least one more, which I will get to. Jesus was approached by Jairus, whose daughter was near death, and he was desperate for her healing. On the way to Jairus' house, Jesus felt this power go out of him and stopped to find out who had touched him, even though Jairus was anxious for Jesus to get to his daughter. It was a woman with a bleeding problem, an unclean woman, unclean for 12 years, and touching Jesus healed her. We don't know what her faith journey was up until that point. What we know is that Jesus understood that it was her faith in Jesus that healed her. Then the Jairus story continues, but now the report is that his daughter is dead, an unclean girl. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John with him and proceeds into the house. No one believes that Jesus can bring this girl back to life. He He does and orders that no one speak of it. For me, this story sheds light on how Jesus chooses to spread his message. In Mark, there are many occasions when Jesus heals someone or performs a miracle and then orders that it not be spoken of. He did that with the people at Jairus' house, but notice that he did not do that with the unclean woman. At Jairus' house, the people laughed at Jesus when he said the girl was not dead, only sleeping. It did not seem that they had faith in what Jesus could do. Yet in the unclean woman, Jesus saw someone who had faith and faith in his healing powers. He gave her a whole new life, a life she had been denied for 12 years. She was free to spread her story and talk about her faith and her faith in Jesus. Jesus used someone on the margins to tell his story. Jesus did not use those at the center of power, because remember, Jairus was a leader in the synagogue. Jesus wanted people to be influenced by the margins. So the question before us is, do we really even listen to those on the margins, those who do not have all the freedoms we celebrate today? Do we even know when our own white privilege prevents us from understanding how much freedom we have? So I'm on a national committee that experienced what we call a racist incident. An older white woman went on a long tirade putting down all the anti-racism work the PCUSA is doing. It was very hurtful to the people of color in the room. As a committee, we decided to invest time and energy into working with an anti-racism consultant. We met with her a couple of weeks ago, and she asked each of us to talk about how we experienced the incident. One person of color said that this woman just felt so comfortable in our space talking like she did. Someone else asked, how did we as a committee allow ourselves to become a place that someone who was so comfortable in not noticing the pain of the people of color? And the consultant stopped us right there and said it wasn't our committee. White privilege is so baked into the history of the Presbyterian Church that we were just living out 300 years of building that comfortable space. It was jarring to hear, but leads me to the question, are we so ensconced in the ways of white privilege that we are incapable of hearing those voices from the margin or accepting that what those voices are saying? Hearing voices from the margins is so important to the work of the church. The more points of view we hear from, the richer the church is going to be. And not just hear, but understand, accept, and act on. So I want to go back briefly to the other intercalated story in Mark. Jesus was going to Jerusalem. He saw a fig tree, wanted food, but there was none. So he cursed the tree and said it would never feed anyone. He then went to the temple and turned over the money changers' tables. He spoke truth to power. When he and the disciples walked back, the fig tree had withered. What I find interesting in both of these Mark readings are the two stories that interrupt the flow. One is the story of transforming a person at the margins. The second is advocating for a more just world. Those interruptions seem important, and I think they point to our work, healing and advocacy. Now, the two passages are followed by stories where Jesus' authority is questioned. In Jerusalem, his authority is questioned by the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders in the temple. In today's passage, after the healing stories, Jesus has returned to Nazareth, his hometown, and everyone questions his authority. These aren't people who don't know him. These are people who know his family intimately. Jesus nails it. He says, prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house. They did not recognize the most important prophet of all time. Which brings me to prophets then and now. Prophets have a long history in the Bible. Early prophets spoke to individuals and kings. So remember Nathan, prophet to David, who told him that no, he was not going to build the temple. And by the way, nothing good was going to come of his dalliance with Bathsheba. Then there were the writing prophets like Amos and Hosea, who spoke of a coming disaster to Israel. God was unhappy with God's people because they were being unjust. And the prophets were right. There was a coming disaster, and that was exile to Babylon. So today we come to Ezekiel. He was a prophet in the Babylonian exile. The beginning of his call happens just before what we heard today. There was wind and fire and four-faced creatures and four wheels inside of wheels. Ezekiel fell on his face. Our reading then starts with the voice of God calling Ezekiel to stand up, and he did. Ezekiel had the power to stand. If he could rise and stand up before God, then he should be able to stand up against the Babylonian captors. God's call was liberating to Ezekiel. Is God's call liberating to us as well? Are we ready to listen to the prophets tell us how to rise up against oppression? There are so many injustices in our world today: immigration, hunger, homelessness, racism, environmental injustice, incarceration issues and for-profit prisons, gun violence, sexual violence, trafficking, discrimination, greed, callous indifference to the poor. It is actually a never-ending list. So I've been thinking, who are our prophets today? In the not-so-distant past, or what used to be not-so-distant, there is Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X. But I want to introduce you to two young adults I would like you to consider prophets. Last week, I was at one of the most soul-crushing Presbyterian meetings I have ever been at. But there was one big high point. The Presbyterian Church has a program called Young Adult Volunteers. The YAV program is an ecumenical, faith-based year of service for young people ages 19 to 30 in sites across the United States and around the world. YAVs accompany local agencies working to address root causes of poverty and reconciliation. Alongside this work, volunteers explore the meaning of their Christian faith and accountability to their neighbors in the community they serve. So a member of our presbytery, Jordan Heinzel Nelson, will be spending a year as a YAV in Scotland. At the meeting, we commissioned Jordan to this service. We invited two staff from Louisville, Destiny Hodges, a young Black woman who is the interim YAV coordinator and beginning her work at Louisville Seminary, and Reverend Lee Cato, a young gay man recently ordained as a Presbyterian pastor and editor of Unbound, the church's online social justice journal. Destiny and Lee led worship, preached, and participated in the commissioning. Their sermon title was Jesus, the Original YAV. They reminded us that Jesus was a young adult when he was ministering, and maybe the church should continue to be reminded of that. Destiny and Lee are prophets in our time. PCUSA is a church that continues to say it wants to attract young adults, yet it continues to push young adults to the margins. So is the church ready to accept listening to those young adults who speak out on oppression that they see around us? Destiny and Lee co-host an online talk show, Just Talk Live. They are talking about things that young adults want the church to address. Here are just some of the topics they have covered: guns, race, grief, religious freedom, voter suppression, reproductive justice, Juneteenth, fossil fuel divestment, Black women and girls, divinely queer, men, God and country, disability and the church, get out the vote, reparations, and Black Lives Matter. Destiny and Lee could be considered on the margins in the PCUSA: Black, gay, young, and a denomination that on the whole is older and white. Are they the prophets we really want to listen to? Do we really want them in our midst? Or will they end up being prophets foretelling doom that will come if we do not pay attention? Do we want to remain that church that finds comfort in being who we have been for 300 years? The last part of today's reading is Jesus sending out the disciples. They had heard and learned, and now it was time for them to go out. Jesus sent them out with the barest minimum, No change of clothes, no food, no protection, but two by two in community. Are we ready for that? Being vulnerable, going out as a community, healing and advocating with those we are hearing from the margins? Or are we content and comfortable with the way we are? And so I come back to the 4th of July, this celebration of independence and freedom that I don't know what to do with. So I look to someone I consider a prophet who had something to say, Langston Hughes, from whose poem I'm gonna quote. "Let America be America again. Let it be the dream it used to be. America never was America to me. Let America be the dream the dreamers dreamed. Let it be that great strong land of love. It never was America to me. Oh, let my land be a land where liberty is crowned with no false patriotic wreath, but opportunity is real and life is free. Equality is in the air we breathe. There's never been equality for me, nor freedom in this homeland of the free. I am the poor white fooled and pushed apart. I'm the Negro bearing slavery scars. I'm the red man driven from the land. I'm the immigrant clutching the hope I seek and finding only the same old stupid plan of dog eat dog, of mighty crush the weak. For all the dreams we've dreamed and all the songs we've sung and all the hopes we've held and all the flags we've hung, oh, let America be America again, the land that never has been yet and yet must be, the land where every man is free. Oh, yes, I say it plain. America never was America to me. And yet I swear this oath, America will be. We the people must redeem the land, the mines, the plants, the rivers, the mountains, and the endless plain, all the stretch of these great green states, and make America great again." So as we go out to celebrate the 4th of July today, will we remember these words of wanting America to be great for those on the margins? Will we take the scripture with us, listening to those on the margins, listening to the prophets who are usually on the margins as well? And with that listening, are we ready to heal and advocate as a community? It is my hope, because Jesus saved us for this work. May it be so. Amen. And so